thank you. What a blessing to be part of your lives. You guys are so special. Your hearts are so beautiful. And your desire to know God is beyond reproach. I couldn't say enough about that. And it like knocks me off at my knees. And I just have to find a place to sit down as I think about it. Because for the most part, people don't want God and they call him a liar. And yet we know that God is not a liar, that God has never lied, and that God will never lie. And you happen to believe that. Why else would your faith be so strong? It's because you trust in him and you love him like he says that you should. Well, before we get going, we need to get going on our affirmations. Who's ready? Yeah. Who's ready to do the English side of that?
I am.
We are.
Yay. Well, let's do it then. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. That is beautiful. And you did it without a prompt. Well, Joy's a pretty good prompt there. Yeah, no, we love that. No, Joy. We love that. Okay. King Kiss. Decir eso en español. Mm. Who wants to say this in Spanish?
Yo.
You could say, quiero decir eso en español.
Necesito.
I want to say this in Spanish. Okay. Sí. Nos vemos. Para hablar. Let's go talk. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios hizo que seré. Yo muero en ver. Wow, give yourselves a hand. Gosh, that is so cool. You really believe these things, don't you?
Yes. I
love it. Oh my gosh, I just love it. We should add like 30 more things to that.
Yeah.
No, we don't have to.
I can read.
Well, you're probably wondering, when am I ever going to finish this series? And I have to be honest, I don't know. Because every time I think I'm going to end it, then something brand new comes up and I have to keep going. And it's not like new research. It's more like, okay, you can teach part of this, but here's what I want you to add. So therefore, you're not going to be able to finish the thought you had. You're going to finish my thoughts. It's really kind of funny. So, Joe, I hope you're keeping track of all these things.
I believe
this is part 5.
Yeah, this would be part 5. I've got all 4 even written down right here if you need to know them.
Well, one thing I do want you to do before I start, before I start talking, I want to talk about this is what I meant. But in your offline time, not now, I'd like you to find out if one of the teachings that I did begins with 1 John 5, 10 through 13.
Okay.
Maybe. And I don't believe I've taught it. I've gone back through them myself and I can't find it, so I'm pretty sure I haven't. But it's a teaching that I have scheduled for October. And yet I had another one scheduled for October too. So it starts with 1 John 5, 10 through 13, then Leviticus 19, 11, then Numbers 23, 19. And that should get you started.
Okay.
But I need verification as soon as you can get it to me.
Will do. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you. Okay. So I had an entire teaching plan today, and that got completely changed, and I cannot wait to teach what I'm going to teach. I believe that this is going to go to the core of your hearts, and it's going to get you on the crest of the wave. And you will feel it, you will know it, and you will relish in it. And we all owe God such great thanks for his promises. Well, not that quick now. Okay, I'm still going to be teaching on the subject of lies. And I really hope that, and we're good, Joy. And I really hope that you've been able to think deeply on this subject. You know, when it comes to like learning languages, one of the gravest mistakes new students make is they don't take the time to delve more deeply into whatever lesson it is that they have before them. So they'll listen to a lesson and then they move on. They don't take the time to really learn the lesson, to maybe repeat it three or four times, to study the words and in between the words, and to do things that promote usage. They just don't take that time. That's a big problem with learning a language. That's a big problem with learning a word. And so I really hope, I trust that you guys delve. I want you to be delvers of the word. I want you to be willing to take the time to look into God's word and to get a feel for what it is that comes your way, perhaps on a daily basis. I don't know how often God talks to you. I know some people say, God never talks to me. And I say, well, that's not true. It just can't be true. It just can't be. Because when God said, let there be light, he put light up there, and now it speaks to you all the time. It rules. And so you're getting it from all directions, whether you like to admit it or not. Don't you think that's kind of funny? You can't go outside at night without being talked to. It's the stars are talking to you. All they do is teach. All you got to do is look up and you hear it and you see it and you learn. It's so cool. You just can't get away from God's loving craftsmanship. Nor do you want to. Well, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. I'm so excited to teach this. I just love the way your hearts are like cauldrons that are filled with effervescing word. The word of God bubbles inside you. Now, I know that you got to deal with phroneo. Those are those passing thoughts. Those ricochets that just come and go, come and go, come and go. But they can never get into your heart. They just don't. That's not their nature. They're just ricochets. And so your heart is bubbling. It's inditing good matter, it says in Psalms. Your tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. You just can't say enough. As those effervescent reactions transpire deep within you. It's so beautiful. And so I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. And it has to do with the subject of lies. So this is part five. And I wanted to delve into the verses that contain kazab. That's the word for lies in Hebrew. Kazab, K-A-Z-A-B. Kazab means to lie, to deceive, to be in vain. And it doesn't necessarily mean only from man's mouth, but it could be from anything. But I'm not going to teach that today. I am going to share one verse of it, though. But in the meantime, I hope you recognize this. Is our premise true? Like your starting point. Let's say you're standing on a stage and you've got a microphone in front of you and you're getting ready to say something that you believe is true. Well, is it true? Is what you're propounding to others true? And that's what I mean by, is our premise true? We really believe it is. You would not spend time talking about something if you disbelieved your premise. So that's like the starting point. I would not be teaching you if I disbelieved the word. My premise is that the word of God is truth. I believe that the word of God is true. Jaylene and I talk. And when I talk with her, it's kind of funny. She's used to it by now, but sometimes I feel bad for her because I do this so much. Well, not so much. It's not like she's like, you know, crawling around in such desperate need. But if something comes up in a conversation and then something comes down the pipe, I stop it real quick and go, well, no, there, I got something to say about that. I think I use that phrase. I'm getting more and more familiar with how I talk. But I've got something to say about that. Hang on. And then I'll just say it. It would be like guidance maybe, or just some refreshing godliness coming her way. And I would never say, hey, I got something to say about that. Hang on just a second. Meaning, let's change the flow of the conversation. I would never say that if I didn't believe my premise was true. Never. When I talk with Joe, we're working through some insidious things right now that deserve to be flamethrowered. And I have things to say about that. I actually ran out of things to say about that too when I told them. But I would never offer him something in terms of advice if I did not believe the premise was true. Now I've shared this statement, is our premise true? Many times. And you've heard it many times. If you've listened to these teachings. And every time I've said it, I believe that those four words are true. They're a true question. They're a right question. The beginning of that paragraph has to be true for me to continue the paragraph. So, is our premise true? Whatever you're setting out to do, whatever you're on a soapbox about, whatever you're in discussions about, or whatever somebody has to say to you, and you've got to endure it, listen to it, process it, somehow manage it, it's the same thing. If somebody's talking to you, is their premise true? And this becomes a form of self-validation. And it becomes a way of resisting lies. It turns into like a guidepost, a set of posts in the ground with fences so that you can protect yourself. Because if you can get to the place where you validate the premise of something before the subject is delivered, you could very well save yourself a lot of time and heartache. So I want you to get good about that. Now that's why we're talking about it perhaps for a third time, major time. And so this is something that I really want you to embrace. So when we speak, we accept that the premise upon which the conversation is based is true. When I try to speak Spanish, cuando hablar con José y Dulce, pienso que las palabras están verdad. I really believe that the words that I'm saying when I speak in Spanish are true, that they're right. That would be a terrible folly if I was trying to speak a language and everything I said was just a mess. It just wouldn't even, that's not even a language. Why are you doing that? We do it with everything, with cooking, with jobs, with friends. But especially we must do it with our words. Well, if our premises are, let's just say like one subject, if our premise is not true, further discussions are pointless. Why would you spend time talking about a lie? Why? We all know the phrase, Dios no es hombre. God is not a man. We all know that phrase. But if you're talking about God as if he is a man, that's a lie. Why would we talk any more about it? We don't spend time talking about lies if we're making points to people. We spend time talking about the truth. And I gave a warning. I said, don't plan your entire life. This is kind of a play on words. What lies ahead on lies. Don't plan your entire life what lies ahead on lies. So if lies lie ahead and you've planned your life on what lies ahead. That's a play on words. You're setting yourself up for disaster. And that could be health. Like, for instance, we've countered some of the disbelief and misinformation about the sun. Now you guys are actually experiencing the pleasure of one of God's handiworks, and you're receiving health from it. Financial, I've talked to you about the misinformation that we've all been indoctrinated with regarding the banking system. You know, to say it shortly, you know, you go get a job, you open up a checking account, you deposit your paycheck into the checking account, and then the bank holds onto your money as you spend it. And it never gets replenished unless you get another paycheck. That's what we were taught to do, and that is just the worst way you could manage your money. It just is the worst way. But we've all dealt with lies. And then relationships. There's things about relationships that we've been taught that we've had to work through. And like, for instance, in the marriage, like the husband is the head of the wife, but Christ is the head of the husband. Now, who believes that? Nobody out there. Well, you do. But you've had to deal with that and get to a place where you do believe it. Educational, we've been taught that you're supposed to go to college. Why? Nobody makes any money after college. Not unless you've learned a trade, like being a lawyer or a doctor, maybe. And then you can go off and poison people with medicine. Or religious, we've dealt with lies in religion. And the list just goes on and on and on. So the warning was, don't plan your entire life on what lies ahead on lies. But we've all been victimized with that, where we've had to work so hard to come out of the web of lies and deceit that we were born into. I taught you about dental health. If you do what I'm saying, you may never have to go to the dentist again. I'm not precluding that completely, entirely, but for the most part, there's so much more to even to learn about that. You know, like with your teeth, each tooth is tied to a particular body system. And if you have a toothache, have you ever asked yourself, why does just one tooth hurt? And maybe you have to have attention and none of the others around it? The reason is because each of them are tied to a body system. That body system, like your kidneys or your spleen or something, is acting out and having trouble, and it's manifested in a tooth. Isn't that crazy? Just crazy stuff. But we've been taught so many lies that we just don't know these truths. And we're trying to learn them. But I taught you about the dental health in an effort to get you free. I've actually taught you some significant things in health and finances and relations and education and religion and the list goes on, and those are all freeing. They're freeing for you. And we're all struggling to be freed from the web of lies. Well, turn to Numbers 23. You know, when I first started teaching this subject, I really wondered where it would go. And I had it planned out. But I really wondered, like, where it would go. And how practical you would see it. And what changes you would make in your own lives based on what you've heard and learned. I've given you seriously practical pointers on things that you could change. In hopes that you would be able to. Well, let's look at Numbers 23, verse 19. Oh, there it is. Huh. Dios no es hombre. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man, el Hijo de Dios, neither the Son of Man, ni el Hijo de Hombre. Hope I'm saying that right, Jose. I'm just guessing. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, if you want to put a verse on your refrigerator, pick that one. Wow. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He doesn't lie, and he has no need to repent. He doesn't go back on his word, and he doesn't get feeble and shaky knees. It just doesn't. He doesn't do anything wrong. No repentance needed. But he does say things, and he's said many, and he does do things, and he's done many. In fact, he does everything he says. He speaks, and he always makes it good. Well, do we believe that God is not a man that he should lie? Do we believe it? Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Do we believe that God is not a man that he should lie? That he should lie. Do we believe that God does not lie? Well, I don't know. Let's see in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God is not a man that he should lie. That's not a lie. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe it? In good times or in bad or somewhere in the misty flats of in between, you can be of good courage without fear in your own heart and life, or be afraid of them. You don't have to have any of that, because the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth good with thee. Only good. Do you believe that? God is not a man that he should lie. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. And he will not forsake you. You might feel that he might, especially if your courage is waning, especially if you feel weak, especially if you're scared. But you have to ask the big question, is God a liar? And we should all resoundly answer,
no.
Isaiah 41. That is a fabulous promise of God. He will not fail you, and he will not forsake you. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, the right hand's the hand of blessing. The left hand's the hand of cursing. The right hand is the hand that the people ate with. The left hand is the hand that they cleaned up with after they ate. This is a promise of God that he will strengthen you, that he will uphold you. Is God a man that he should lie? No. Man lies all the time. We are trying to breathe through a web of lies to tear apart. It's like you fall through the ice and then you come back up and it's ice again. You're trying to break back through it. Sometimes it's that desperate. We've been soaked in lie potions. We've been coated in lie paint. They use lie in paint. They use lie in soap. You put it on yourself every day if you use that kind of soap. We're covered in lies. Lies, lies, lies everywhere. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalm 91. When God makes a promise, it's sure and steadfast. It can always be quoted, it can always be relied upon, it can always be trusted in, it can always be spoken and given to others. God's promises are true. They come from an unwavering source. There is no end to the matter of truth. Truth endures forever. Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. God is not a liar. God is not a man. He's truth incarnate. Isaiah 52. I use this word, you'll see it in this verse. It's a wonderful old English word. In Isaiah 52 verse 12, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. Now, this is fabulous. You're not going to be so scared that you have to hightail it and run. That's kind of what it's talking about there. You're not going to be so surrounded by uncertainty that the only thing you have to do is run away as fast as you can. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. And re-reward means rear guard. He's behind you. You've seen verses that say he's on your right and on your left, and he goes before you, and he also is behind you. God protects you wherever you are. He'll be your rear guard. Exodus chapter 14. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking we have to fight situations, and quite honestly, we're involved in a lot of that because we deal with so many liars. If people weren't so prone to lie, your business dealings would be a whole lot easier. But they're not. They love lying, and they're caught in the web too. I mean, everybody is. You know, the sick trying to lead the sick kind of thing. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. And you know how we have a statement of beliefs on the website? That's our statement. And if people don't agree with some of the things that we teach or the way we run our fellowships or anything along those lines, you don't have to argue with them. All you do is point them to the statement of beliefs and just say, hey, look, have you not read our statement of beliefs? This is why I do what I do, because this is what I believe. You know, you can do that in business too. If somebody accuses you of wrongdoing, let's say, well, your company has a statement of beliefs, you know, that you will never install something incorrectly, or you will always follow industry standards supported by industry experts. And that's just the way it is. And so in relationships, you're supposed to maintain integrity. In nutrition, you're supposed to maintain integrity. You have your own statement of belief with that. And it's with anything. Finances, the same way. Like, let's say gamblers, you know, they go and lose all their money. Well, their statement of belief is pretty bad. You wouldn't go and just waste all your money. In Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. You want to be at a place where you can hold your peace. Just bring out your statement of belief. Pretty cool, huh? Isaiah 54. In Isaiah 54, verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Well, that's love. God's never going to leave you. His love is never going to depart from you. His love will never fail you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. It could just be that cataclysmic. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Nothing can undo what God has done. Nothing. Only God himself could. Except the Lord that hath mercy on thee. James 1. These are wonderful promises that you can run through your mind every single day. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And it's at this point that I would like to interject something. If you have a plan B, you have no reason to be afraid. See, what the lies do is they corner you and trap you, and they weave you into a prison. But we want to be free. We don't want to be encumbered like that. So if any of you lack wisdom, in other words, you don't know what to say or what to do, let him ask of God. Now, God's not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. So if you ask of God, he's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give it liberally. That giveth to all liberally. Whoever has the right to ask, and you do, and upbraideth not, he will not hold it back, and it shall be given him. And this wisdom is what allows you to formulate plan B. In other words, you're in a situation, and you need to have a plan in case plan A fails, like whatever you're trying to do. So if whatever you're trying to do, and it's got you all worked up, all you do is think about it all day and all night, you're working on plan A, plan A, plan A, but that's your trap. It could very well just be a trap. So you gotta have a plan B. If this doesn't work, then here's what I'm going to do. And if you have a plan B for everything in life, then you just won't be trapped. And if that plan B turns into a plan A, then all of a sudden the weaving is coming, and it's like you're feeling trapped, then you need to have another plan B, or C, whatever you want to call it. And God will give you the wisdom to make that plan. But you should never feel trapped. If you feel trapped in life, more than likely it's because you are not planning your life. And you need to have a plan B. And you step right into it when plan A fails or it looks like it's going to fail. And don't be afraid to step into it, because it's your life. You control it. Jeremiah 29. So God will give you wisdom when you ask. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, we learn that God wants to prosper us. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He will take you all the way through to give you an expected end. Wow. His plans are to prosper you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I know you already know where I'm going with this one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many times have you read that? Nowhere near enough. God is not a man that he should lie. This is not a lie. This is truth. This same God who is not a man, the same God who has never lied, never will lie, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This same wonderful God who will never leave you or forsake you. This same wonderful God who will strengthen you and uphold you. This same wonderful God who will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. This same wonderful God who goes before you and is your rear guard. This same wonderful God who will fight on your behalf. This same wonderful God whose love will never fail you, who gives you wisdom when you ask, whose plans are to prosper you. This same wonderful God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, Psalm 34, 17. In Psalm 34 and verse 17, we read, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. All of them. God is not a man that he should lie. This is not a lie. If you have trouble, he will deliver you. You just have to ask him. And Romans chapter 8, yet another fantastic promise. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He works out all things for your good. All things. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trouble you seem to have fallen into, no matter what wisdom you need and what words you need to reply with, he will deliver you. No matter what it is, you never have to worry about that. Everything will work out. Everything will work out. That's the one thing I used to tell anybody in my family. I still do. Everything's going to be fine. And that's where it comes from. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything's going to be fine. Psalm 9. Turn to Psalm 9. Now let's say you're waiting for everything to be fine. You need a place to stay. And you sure don't want to stay in the enemy's camp or eat at the enemy's table. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So you can just hang out with God. You can just let him care for you while you're waiting. You know how I shared about recovery, what, back in July? And, you know, if you're going through something, you're going to need recovery time after that something has ended. And there's no difference between that kind of waiting and this kind of waiting. Like if you're trying to work through a troubling situation, well, you need to be peaceful, the Bible says. We read that. But you need a good place to stay, too. Now, I'm not talking about going to somebody's house necessarily, although that might come up. But I'm talking about going nestling under the wings of God. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. If you believe that you have to handle things all on your own, here's your trouble again, now you're scared to death, you really got to change that one. Because you need to go nestle up to God and just let him care for you. That's just the way it works. How far away are you from that mindset? A far way? Or maybe not too far? No matter where you are, you need to renew your mind and let the Word of God deliver you. And then to close with, turn to Psalm 3. So instead of sitting up all night worrying about your situations, instead of running out from beneath the wings of God and his mercy and care, Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6 tell us, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. That would be food. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. No matter what type of chaos you find yourself surrounded by, don't be afraid. Just don't. And you'll find that God's deliverance will ring true day in and day out, no matter when it is, no matter what it's for. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen and amen.
Amen.